Thank you, brother. Bless you. It's a privilege to be here again today. And after Brother Hughes took 5 minutes, I better take two and get on out of here and leave the things alone. Good to see Brother Brian again. Been a long time since I've seen Brother Joe, and I'm glad to see. It encourages my heart, even though I'm getting older myself. It encourages my heart to see people that stay by the stuff. Stay faithful, Brother Melvin. Amen. Brother Craig. It's always a blessing to see folk that just serve God. In the book of Exodus this morning, let me just share a couple of thoughts with you. I was sitting in my office one day and I ran across this, nothing new to you fellas, but just a couple of thoughts that thrill my heart. I identified with Brother Craig last night as he shared his testimony with us and the suffering and pain. I don't know anything about that. I like all older folks, suffer a little bit. Have experienced a little bit of depression. I've often questioned myself, why, Lord, would you use me? There have been times when self-doubt has inflicted me with depression. There have been times when I wondered, Lord, out of all the people you could have used, why would you choose me? And sometimes when I mess up, I really wonder why he chose me. And I thought, Lord, of all the people, you would put me in this position, and Lord, you're going to hold me accountable for it on top of that. And I thought about that, and I ran across this scripture, and it really spoke to my heart. I hope it helped you this morning. In Exodus chapter 3, you're familiar with the scriptures. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Would to God we'd answer that quick. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Now, Father, help us this morning. Thou knowest, Lord, it's a privilege to be here, an honor. And I thank you for Brother Enos and this good church, for these dear friends that I've run across again. A lot of these folk I don't know, Lord. Most of them could probably do a better job than I could do. But, Lord, you've let me stand here this morning. And I pray, Holy Ghost, you'll fill us and help us to help somebody else. Lord, we need to be ministered to that we might minister to others. So help us this morning, Lord. If you don't, we'll fail. My pride will be abased. These folk won't get any help. And I'll probably leave the meeting. I'll be so ashamed. So help me, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you for praying for me. I got to looking at this passage, and the one phrase that stood out to me because of my own situation, I thought of this bush, and I thought, what a common bush this was. There was nothing to distinguish this bush. It was no different than any other bush. The Bible says in verse 2, it says a bush. And then it says again in verse 2, the bush, God's in it. And the only difference between this bush and the other bushes was there was two differences there. One, number one, was that it was burning. Number two, that God was in it. I'm reminded this morning that God can take anything and anyone and use them for His glory. Somebody said, I can't serve God. I differ with you. I believe you can serve God if you yield your... The only thing this bush did, it was just there. It was available. It didn't put up a fight. It just surrendered to what God wanted to do. You say, well, the bush didn't have any choice. Well, I suggest to you, you and I don't have a whole lot of choice. If God Almighty gets in you, you will burn. You will burn. The problem with most of us, we're not burning because God's not in us. That's the problem. But this old common bush out there. And, you know, I noticed something else about the bush. Just simple things, fellas, so don't look for nothing deep from me. But the second thing I saw about this bush was that God chose the bush. He chose the bush, and obviously there were other bushes there, and yet I realized that there was a sovereign will for that bush. Just like there's a sovereign will for my life. There's a sovereign will for your life. God Almighty has a right to do with us as He sees fit. I listened to Brother Enos last night and Brother Craig and these men of God who suffered, and and have physical ailments, and our heart goes out to them. Amen? If you've ever suffered a little bit, you can identify with folks that hurt. I sometimes think God lets us hurt so we might be able to identify with others that hurt. My wife, going home, or going back to the motel last night, Brother Craig, my wife said, God spoke to my heart about something. I said, well, darling, she said, when Brother Craig told about his ailments, and she said, I realize I need to have more compassion for folks. I need to enter more into their suffering. I said, if you learn that and I could learn that, we'd be better off. God knows we're quick to point a finger at folks, so they're not trying. Amen. If there's one thing about independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, hallelujah, King James folks, we're quick to tell everybody what they need to do. Somebody called me one day, Brother Craig. A lady called me up and said, I'm suffering. I said, what are you suffering from? She told me. And my first thought was, this lady's nuts. Now, you've never done that, I know. But she was a little flaky. But I told her something, and God gave me this, and I realized it was true. I said, listen, young lady. I said, whether anybody else believes it or not, if you believe it, then it's real to you. And if it's real to you, it ought to matter to me, I'm your pastor. It ought to matter to me, I'm your pastor. Somebody must care, as Brother Craig said last night. But God has a will, God has a sovereign will for this. Notice something. This bush had no choice in the selection process, and he voiced no objection to what God wanted to do in his life. The bush is on fire, but it wasn't consumed. Look at verse 2. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him, and a flame out of the midst of the fire, out of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire. The bush was not consumed. Burning, but not burned. How about that? Actually, it was God who was the fire. The bush wasn't burning. Actually, it was God doing it. The vessel is useful, but it has no fire within itself. There's no fire in ourselves. You may have marvelous oratory skills. I'm always amazed at Brother Edwards when he preaches. Had him in our church a couple of times, and he's a marvelous preacher. Isn't he? I mean, say amen. You say amen, fellas. He's a great preacher. He is. He has a way of expressing the truth that really catches our heart, doesn't it? And I love that. You may have great oratory skills, but if there's no fire, nothing's going to happen. God must be the consuming fire. God must be the one who gives the power. God has to be the one. I realize that though I'm a common bush, God can use me. And if you're a common bush, God can use you this morning. There may not be anything special about you. How many of you guys are handsome? Raise your hand. Well, I guess we've got a bunch of ugly preachers here this morning. Have you ever just stopped and looked in the mirror at yourself? Dear God, it'll make you disappointed, won't it? It'll get you depressed. God's not looking for handsome people. God's not looking for skilled people. God's looking for some bushes that'll yield to Him and say, God Almighty, fill me, do what you want to with me. Doesn't matter what anybody thinks. Doesn't matter what people think I look like or talk like or care like. I remember when I first started preaching, fellas, you've never done this probably, but when I first started preaching, I asked my wife, I said, honey, will you please critique me? Bad mistake. Bad mistake. I tell you the truth. I got out of the pulpit and I said, well, how'd it go, honey? And you know what she picked on me about? It wasn't the theological aspect of it. It wasn't the doctrinal stand. No, 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 no. You know what she picked on me about? My English. She said, well, you said ain't here and you said can't hear. And after about three critiques, I said, that's enough of that junk. God called me to preach. He didn't call me to be an English teacher. Folks, I tell you, God uses anybody. I believe that. Look at this thing here. Just a couple more points. I'll get out of the way. Not only was the bush on fire but not consumed, but the bush served, and I love this, this little bush served a divine purpose. You could say this bush was in the center of God's will. Now, you are you in the center of God's will? Are you in the center of God's will? Well, I don't understand what's happening to me, preacher. My people got to me and said, Pastor, I don't know what's happening. Things are rough. I said, that probably means you're in the will of God. We have a Benny Hinn mentality. Yeah, we do. We do. We believe that if we got two Cadillacs or two town cars, that seems to be what's mostly out here today. I was at a preacher's fellowship in South Georgia, Brother Edwards. Honest to God, I had a Lincoln town car, and this boy got him preached against preachers having Lincoln town cars. I said, son, get over it. Hallelujah. I mean, it's used. But we think we don't have two Lincoln town cars and a $500,000 home and the $1,000 suits and everything going our way that we're out of the will of God. That's not a measure of the will of God. A measure of the will of God is that God is using you. God is consuming you and using you for His glory. And it may be rough and it may be tough and things may be bad. But that probably signifies you're in the will of God. We get that Benny Hinn mentality. Oh, I tell you, folks, we're a mess. Someone said this, and I'd give credit if I knew who it was. To know the will of God is our greatest knowledge. To do the will of God is our greatest achievement. It should be our desire to serve a divine purpose. Preach to my people Sunday night and Paul's three views of death. And I told the folk, I said, I think a lot about dying anymore. I'm not morbid. I'm really not. But I think about it. I'm getting older. Told my wife the other day. I said, honey, probably I'll go first, and if I do, my prayer for you is that God will give you courage and grace and encouragement and the wherewithal you need to go in and serve God and praise the Lord, because I'm going to be praising God. David said, there's but a step betwixt me and death. Folks, listen, if I don't serve some divine purpose here, what am I doing here? If I'm not fulfilling the will of God in my life, what am I doing here? I'm soon to meet the Lord. I may be an old common bush, but I know one thing. I'm going to meet the Lord one of these days, and I'm going to give an account of what I've done in my life. I certainly want to be in the will of God. I want to be in the will of God. You know, something else stands out to me about this little bush. It was just a common bush until God inhabited it. Common bushes. There's so many of us, aren't there? There's so many of us that are common. How many of you were born with a silver spoon in your mouth? Raise your hand. How many of you were born into rich families? Were you? A bunch of poor people in the offering will be bad this week, brother. The truth of the matter is, we're just common folks. Now, I know that some of you have labored. And I don't mean any disrespect when I call Brother Edwards Brother Edwards, because he's a brother in Christ to me. I'm sorry if that offends you if I don't call him doctor. I know he's a doctor. Brother Bryant, I don't mean any disrespect when I don't call you guys doctors. But there's a common bond in us. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. We're just common folk. We ought not to get exalted in who we are or what we've accomplished. Whatever's happened, whatever God has used you for, it's God's glory. It's God that's done it in you. It's God that gets all the praise and honor. Would you say amen to that? Amen. We're just common bushes. Man, but when God gets in us, amen. When God takes an old company, doesn't take special education, doesn't take special training. I'm for it. I actually went to school. Somebody said I hide it real well, but I did go to school. I actually graduated from a couple of places. But folks, it's not that that which we need. God needs some old common bushes that'll say, Lord, here's my life. Fill me and use me. And turn him loose for the glory of God. We need that. Most of us are just common. Amen. Thank God for that. There's hope for you. There's hope for you. Pastor, I've failed 20 times. Well, try the 21st time. Pastor, it seems like everything I do is a mess. Join the club. Join the club. I love it. I love it, Brother Edwards, when it's you or some of you great preachers get up here and actually admit, hey, I struggle every day. Some of our people, I think, get the idea that preachers are supernatural. People treat preachers and missionaries sometimes like they walk on a special street and it's all smooth. We give them the ideal, don't we, that... Are you ever amazed when somebody comes in and talks to you, Brother Edwards, and you actually have an answer for them? Or is that just me? Some of these young Navy guys come into my office and say, Pastor, I've got a problem. And I think, dear God. And he tells me what his problem is, and God actually gives me an answer for him. God gives me a little wisdom. Somewhere I've studied, God brings, and I'm amazed at that. Now, that may not amaze you, but it amazes me. I know who I am. Man, just the moment before, I was feeling sorry for myself and wondering what in God's name is going to happen next and somebody comes. I told my people that. I said, how about coming to see me? How about somebody coming to my office? I'd love for somebody to come to my office, knock on the door and say, hallelujah, preacher, I just come to be a blessing. Everybody knocks on my door, got a problem. Now, Lord, have mercy. Bring me a blessing once in a while, amen. But God will use any of us, folks. I believe that. And just two more things real quickly. This bush was available. And you know what it was doing? And don't miss this. It was being the absolute best bush it could be. What do you mean, preacher? God doesn't select lazy things. God's not that hard up. God chooses the best, the busiest, those that labor. You know, this bush wasn't looking for a special favor. It wasn't even trying to outbush the other bushes. You know what it was doing? It was just bushing along the best it could. Come on now, you. I'm always intimidated when somebody asks me to preach, especially in a place like this. I do. I get intimidated. I have a problem preaching to other preachers because I know you know more than I do. Say amen. And if you don't know more than I do, you think you do. Come on, fellas. We're just human. You know, you might as well loosen up a little bit and admit it. And I look at Brother Melvin out there. Man, he's an old preacher. I mean, I knew him. I knew him when he was 65. Down in Brazil, hallelujah. I remember Brother Joe when he was a young man. Young man. Now they're old. I don't know how they got old. But they got all this wisdom. And yet, God chooses to use all of us. And we don't need to outbush one another. We don't need to do that. I thought last night when... do you notice things like I do? I mean, do you really... You're probably more spiritual than I am, so you don't notice things like I do. I'm always amazed when the pastor calls the evangelist up or the preacher up, whoever it is, and I've seen him 30 minutes before and he wouldn't even speak to me. Am I the only one that notices things like that? So I think we're Pharisees. We're trying to outbush one another, aren't we? Look at my bush. Look at my fronds. I got more bark than you got, hallelujah. Come on, folks. It's God. It's not us. It's God. It's not you, it's not me, it's God Almighty. Oh, listen. And yet, there's one more thing, and I'll get out of the way and shut up, leave you alone, quit aggravating you. But listen, do you know what? This is just my imagination, I admit that. There's no scriptural proof of it, so if you don't like it, you just throw it out like you do the rest of it. But I don't believe this bush was ever the same. It had been visited by God. God had inhabited this bush. I don't think it was ever the same. Now, obviously, I'm referring to when us common bushes get visited by God, we're never the same. We're never the same. Somebody said, well, preacher, I believe you can get saved, and I believe you place faith. I believe that all my heart. Brother Hughes, I appreciate that. One thing I do believe, when you get saved, you'll never be the same. When God Almighty comes to live in you, are you listening? When God comes to live in you, you're not the same person. You're not the same. No. Listen, I was an ex-sailor boy, lost and on my way to hell 25 years old when God Almighty came by. A couple of soul winners came by and led me and my wife to the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't know what happened. I honest to God did not know what happened. You say, preacher, you must not got saved. I didn't know what it meant to be saved. I'd never been saved before. I'm not a persuasion. You get saved several times. Got saved and opened my Bible up. And I know you're going to laugh, and you probably did it too, but the first book in the Bible I read, guess what it was? Job. That's the first book in the Bible I read, was Job. I didn't know it was called Job. It looked like Job to me, amen. But I'm going to tell you one thing. My wife and I got in the car. Thursday night we got saved. On Sunday morning we got in the car and drove 80 miles to go to church. Showed up at our little home church. We sat on the back row right back there where my brother's sitting. They had a brand new preacher. When I walked in, everybody, it was one of them country churches. They all turned around. They knew me, but they all turned around to see what I was doing there. Everybody in church turned around and looked at me. They didn't know if I'd come to cuss the preacher out or cause some kind of ruckus. He preached out of 1 Corinthians 15:51-58. He gave the invitation. I got my wife out of hand. We walked all the way down the aisle, got right here. And he said, what are you here for? I said, I don't have a clue, but I got saved Thursday night, and I want to do whatever else I need to do. He said, you need to baptize. You need to be baptized. I said, let's be baptized then. And I'm telling you, from that time to this, my wife got a new husband. My children got a new daddy. God came by and visited an old common bush and had mercy on him and saved him and filled him and used him. He'll do it for you.